This is Phil Ferrand, and I am walking around. We had off all this week. First of all, I should say right now that I'm a little underpowered. I had been wondering for a while now. There had been this kind of reoccurring thought that had been floating up in my brain. Because I do 2 40-hour-plus fasts a week. So, as you probably remember, I eat Sunday night, and then I have one meal on Tuesday night, and then I start eating again on Thursday night, and then I eat it through the weekend. And I've enjoyed that schedule. But there are supposedly, things that you can't get to without a 72-hour fast. And it has to do with rebooting your immune system and yada, yada, yada. Human growth hormone changes happen at 48 hours, I think, something like that. And yes, I'm not driving a car. I'll get to that in a minute. I was kind of like, oh, that's kind of a shame. And so I've kind of had this reoccurring thought. I wonder what would happen if I just didn't eat Tuesday night. So I would go basically from Sunday night to Thursday night. And this was kind of the ideal week to do that because we're off this entire week from my major client. They shut down 1 week a year. Although this year they gave people a choice, so I wasn't quite sure what was going on there, but you know, it's fine. From Christmas Eve until the 3rd of January, I will be off. And so I thought, you know what? This seems like a good week to try this. So I just skipped the meal Tuesday night. So I'm working on, I don't know, it's 83, 84 hours or so by now that I haven't eaten, but supposedly I'm in that immune system regeneration phase where my immune system is doing its thing and cleaning stuff up and putting all new cells together, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm a little underpowered, but it hasn't been too bad. I've been pleasantly surprised. I've been working on projects at home and been able to get the projects accomplished, and I'm definitely feeling a little underpowered this morning, but I haven't had coffee yet, so I expect that when I have coffee that's going to help me along a little bit. And I think what I'm going to try to do is get it to at least 90 hours, so that'll, it would be lovely to get to 96, because that's a nice round number. 4 days. But that'll put it at 8 o'clock tonight. And then I have to get my digestive system restarted. And I think I'd like a few more hours to get that done before Friday morning, because Friday morning we're celebrating New Year's. So it's going to be fun. Anyways, so as you can hear, I am not driving. I'm out for a walk this morning. And it is a gorgeous day. I'm shuffling around putting on my gloves at this point because the temperature is not bad. It's about 42. But it's foggy. I love fog. I just love the way it looks. And it is just a gorgeous, gorgeous morning. Not drizzly, but there definitely is a lot of moisture in the air from the fog. And I thought I didn't need gloves, but I brought them along just in case. I'm glad I did, because exposed skin in that little bit of humidity in the air and a little tiny bit of wind is enough to make things brisk. There's a truck coming by. I'm waving. That will happen as we're walking along here. It's about 8 o'clock in the morning, so there are going to be people going to work. It's not socked in dense, dense fog, but it's a pretty good fog. There's a lake off to my left. It's only maybe 50 feet away, 30 feet away. I can just barely see the lake. Anyways, so it's been a good week. The fasting has gone well. I have gotten my closets and costumes all reorganized. The costumes are creeping into my office, taking over more and more of my office. I decided that this year what I was going to do was to get some shelving units and use those shelving units on casters on wheels so that I could just jostle stuff around. And that seems like that's going to work out just fine. So got all the shelving units set up, got all the tote boxes where they needed to be, got all the extra costumes categorized, all the pieces, and I have one last little final thing I need to do in my office. I had to kind of rearrange my office a little bit. Got one last little thing to do. Office is done. Yesterday I cleaned out all the Amazon boxes from the garage. Got that done. Got the New Year's Day costume done last night. So it's good. It's good. All is well. Haven't been writing this week. This is my 1 week out of the year when I take off from writing, because I've, you know, got all these other little projects to do. Today I have one more project. We took down a tree in our backyard and just had the guys just leave everything there. So got to go out there today and cut that all up and get it stacked. So all is well, which means that tomorrow, I think I might be clear of projects. So who knows? I may do a little writing tomorrow. I am halfway through book 16, so, you know, that's going to be fun. That'll be my January and February, sorry, a little underpowered, January and February project to get the second half of book 16 written, and then we'll go from there. So all is well. I came across an article, and the article was originally published in 2018, but this was a summary of the article, and I sure hope I haven't done this before, because maybe this article, I really should have checked if I have done this before. I apologize. Now that I think about it, you know, this is episode 666, 666, dun dun dun. Hey, there's a deer. There's two deers. White-tailed deers. Shelly, there's three deers. How fun is that? Anyways, I came across this article called "Scientists Have Identified the Driving Force Behind Your Darkest Impulses," which, of course, when I read a headline like that, I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. We call this the flesh. Psychologists call it the dark triad, the article says, an intersection of three of the most malevolent tendencies of human nature. So those three tendencies are psychopathy, maybe it's pronounced, narcissism, and Machiavellianism. But the truth goes deeper and darker. Yes, it does. There's also egoism, sadism, spitefulness, and more. And behind this rogue's gallery of all our worst inclinations on the surface, a central common core of human darkness lies, according to new research. Yeah, no joke. But it's always nice to get affirmation. In a 2018 study, psychologists from Germany and Denmark mapped this driving force behind all our darkest impulses and gave it a name. Meet D, the newly identified dark factor of personality. The theoretical framework of the D factor has its underpinnings in what is known as the G factor, a construct proposed by English psychologist Charles Spearman over a century ago when he observed that individuals who performed well on one kind of cognitive test were more likely to score well on other kinds of intelligence tests. In other words, a general intelligence factor could be measured, but it turns out that's not all scientists are able to detect. I'm starting to run out of steam walking, so I may find someplace to just sit down. There's a little bridge up here, and the water flows in the background. And maybe I'll just stand because the concrete is wet that I would sit on. Another car coming. But at least if I stop walking, I think I can walk and talk at the same time. Okay, here we go. See if we got any water trickling here. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's a beautiful day. It's a really, really beautiful day. Okay. Beautiful background to talk about darkness. So, let's see. Quote from the article. In the same way, the dark aspects of human personality also have a common denominator, which means that similar to intelligence, one can say that they are an expression of the same dispositional tendency, explains psychologist Ingo Zettler. In a series of four separate studies involving over 2,500 participants, Zettler and fellow researchers surveyed participants with questions designed... Waiting for the cars to go by. With questions designed to measure their levels of nine distinct dark traits. Egoism, Machiavellianism, moral disengagement, narcissism, psychological entitlement, psychopathy, sadism, self-interest, and spitefulness. Of course, they did the standard thing. So they put out these statements, and you say, do you agree, do you not agree? So, supposedly, I'm sure it was all supposed to be anonymous so that people would answer truthfully. So the statements were things like, I know that I am special because everyone keeps telling me so, or I'll say anything to get what I want. It's hard to get ahead without cutting corners here and there. Hurting people would be exciting. I gotta tell you. Oh, man, I read these statements and I think, what? Who would answer yes to those things? Anyways, so then they ran a statistical analysis. And while these dark traits are all distinct, they all overlap to some extent owing to the central core darkness factor, which reveals itself in different way in different people. Quote, in a given person, the D factor can mostly manifest itself as narcissism, psychopathy, and one of the other dark traits, or a combination of these. But our mapping of a common denominator of the various dark traits, one can simply ascertain the person has a high D factor. This is because the D factor indicates how likely a person is to engage in behavior associated with one or more of these dark traits. Right? The article goes on to say, it's pretty provocative stuff. See, I don't consider this provocative at all because the Bible tells us that we're battling against the flesh within us. But you don't just have to take the researcher's word for it. You can take the D test yourself. So there's this online portal called dfactor.org. dfactor.org. And you can go measure your D factor score. So why would people want to know? Well, apart from personal curiosity about how dark you really are, the researchers said their findings could one day lead to new discoveries in psychology and therapy, advancing our understanding of how we interpret people's malevolent actions. Quote, we see it, for example, in cases of extreme violence or rule-breaking or lying deception in the corporate or public sectors. Here, knowledge about a person's D factor may be a useful tool, for example, to assess the likelihood that the person will reoffend or engage in more harmful behavior. Okay. So I went and took the test just because I was interested in my D factor. I gotta tell you, I'm looking through these questions and I'm just, now some of the questions, perhaps intentionally or perhaps because they were translated from wherever, Germany, some of the questions you really have to read closely because they're using double negatives and they're flipping, you know, they're flipping the setting of the question from agree to disagree, and you've got to, I mean, you really have to pay attention. And I was like looking and looking. There were a couple of, mostly I was answering strongly agree or strongly disagree. There were a couple of questions that I thought, well, given the way the question is worded, maybe I'm closer to the middle on that one. But the results weren't much of a surprise. I mean, I was thinking, if this thing grades me of having a high D factor, I'm going to be stunned. And of course it didn't. On a scale of 1 to 10, which 10 being the highest for the D factor, it ranked me 1.06, something like that, 1.04. I don't know. It was... And I think it was just because of those two questions. So that put me in the 0th percentile. The 0th percentile. That was really shocking to me. That put me in the 0th percentile for D factor. Because there were a ton of people. I mean, it was a bell curve, which you'd kind of expect out of humanity, but I mean, these questions, you know, it's like, wow, it really, it's hard to get ahead without cutting corners here and there. Hurting people would be exciting. I'll say anything to get what I want. Goodness. The fact that we have a bell-shaped curve there is not good. But, I mean, it just illustrates that people without any discipleship really are at the mercy of their flesh. I was talking to a buddy this week that a coworker had been ugly towards them, and the boss hadn't really responded well, and, you know, it made him mad, and we were talking, and I was just waiting to get to, you know, the good stuff, because I was talking him through about the fact that it was a good job, and I was, you know, just kind of waiting to get there. But finally, after we talked, and I said, well, look, because he was saying, well, this isn't fair the way I was treated, and this isn't, and I said, yeah, no, right, it's not. Life is not fair, period. But I kept saying, you know, it's a good job, and yeah, it's a good job, and the fact that your boss thought you could take some of the abuse that she knew you were going to get is a sign that she values you. And he said, no, I understand that. And finally, we got to the good stuff. And the good stuff is looking at it from the perspective of the flesh and the interactions of the flesh. And, you know, I said, here's another way that you need to think about this. I said, this is driven by her flesh, her D factor, if you want to call it that. Car coming by, I'll hold until it goes. So, her D factor. She obviously has a high D factor because apparently she's a grumpy old lady and goes around and gripes and groans at everybody and tries to stir up trouble every time she can, and has actually accused my friend of ridiculous sexual overtures, you know. Because my friend is a younger guy and she's an older lady, and it's like, wow, a guy would have to be really desperate. And so she obviously has a high D factor, high flesh involvement. And so I said, here's another way to think about this. The flesh is out for destruction. So it's doing everything it can to cause destruction in her, to cause an environment that will destroy her. And it will. You cannot behave with malevolence and with hatred and envy and jealousy and greed. You cannot keep your bodily systems amped up with stress and pressure without causing something to break down. It just will, because there's all kinds of hormones that are floating through your body. And there is a mind-body connection. You're just going to eat yourself alive. I said, so she is stewing in this brew of hatred and anxiety and jealousy and all those things. And so when she barks and snaps at you, what her flesh is trying to do is get you stirred up and trying to empower your flesh to have something that it can then sit inside you and do its best to cause you to be upset. And I said, just think about all the emotional energy you have wasted today thinking about this. And he said, well, that's true. I said, all that emotional energy, that was your flesh just camping on this and sticking in the knife. Because what a person says, how a person treats you, ultimately cannot affect you internally. You make the decision of what affects you internally. And you do that by putting value in what that person says and then allowing your flesh to point out all the ways that it's wrong. Of course it's wrong. But nothing is going to change just by going, well, that's wrong. That's wrong. They shouldn't have done that to me. Because all that's doing is keeping you churned up. But it doesn't really get to a solution. It just keeps you churned up. So it was a good little talk, and, you know, it was kind of that D factor thing. And, you know, since I'm going to start walking again, since this is episode 666, I thought, well, there you go. We should talk about the D factor a little bit. As for the rest of it, this is the last podcast of 2021. And I do have to say that 2021 has just been a spectacular year. It's just been so much fun. And I expect 2022 is going to be a spectacular year as well. Got some fun holidays coming up. And got lots to do, lots to do. I've talked about that in previous episodes. So, you know, it's just going to be fun. And, you know, everything seems to be going fine at work, and we're moving forward, and we'll try to get all that stuff put together. So, you know, that seems to be going fine. The writing seems to be going fine, unless something big and huge and critical comes along. You know, I think we're good there. And come January 5th, which is just a couple of days away, it's going to be 3.5 years before I retire. So whoop, whoop. And, you know, at work, we actually, I'm very encouraged because we have a guy who's been with AGWM forever. He's retiring, but there's actually a plan at this point for all of that, which is good. Kind of had to push a little bit to get that done, but we got it done. And you know, we have a new lead in. He's doing a fabulous job, and he was very instrumental in getting that whole thing together. So you know, all that seems to be shaping up and going well. And so it's good. It's good. I'm fascinated to see how things develop. I mean, at this point, the costumes have been such an interesting journey. And it's taught me so much about gender relationships and the different approaches that men and women in general on average have to life. And then there has been that it's grown out of that. There's been this aspect of playfulness that has turned in ways I would never expect it to turn. And so it's going to be fascinating to see where all this goes. I think I'm done with all the, at least I have mapped out, I think, all the projects that I'm going to do this year. Oh, that is something that I may be doing Friday and Saturday. If I get that all done, get that all squared away, I have to make a new budget for 2022, financial budget, because my beloved is going on Medicare in February. Whoop, whoop. So that's going to be a huge cost savings for us. That'll take our monthly health bill just for her from $920 a month with a $7,500 deductible down to about $300 a month with a $200 deductible. So, whoop, whoop. Looking forward to that. So I've got to go ahead and rearrange the budget based on that. So I got to do that this week. But, I had mentioned the costume for Be an Angel previously, and I had mentioned that I had ordered a kit for Mechanical Wings. I got the kit in. So I'm going to, maybe I'll build that this weekend. It's just the infrastructure. I still actually have to build all the wings and the feathers for the wings and stuff, but there's tutorials on how to do that. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. But yeah, so this next coming year is going to be just fascinating to see all this, how all this develops. Do you have a confession? Unfortunately, I had made a New Year's resolution that I would attempt to take cold showers. I was trying to encourage myself into doing it. And I talked to some people, they're like, oh yeah, it's not too bad. Just get your head wet first and woo. I'd been trying to do it, hadn't gone. Then I got busy with stuff and just kind of ignored it. And there was at one point that me and another buddy were going to do it together. I said, okay, so this week, because I'm trying to do this from a project management standpoint, you know, baby steps. This week, 10 seconds. Just endure it for 10 seconds. So I get back, touch base with him on Saturday and Sunday. I said, so how did you do? Did you get your 10 seconds in? And he was like, well, I got in and I tried it. And I thought, ah, just do it. He just cranked it all the way down, took a cold shower. It's like, oh, ah. So then I kind of got distracted and didn't get back to that. And I was reminded of that this week. So yesterday, got in, cranked it all the way down, got my head wet, stood there for a while getting splashed on. But I didn't actually take a shower. So today is really the last day. If I'm going to do something, today's the last day. Because tomorrow, which is the 31st, is costume day because it's a Friday. And so I usually need to take quick showers and then get going and get all the stuff put together. So I'm going to try it. We'll see how this goes. This is Phil Farron. And I am walking around.